This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school.
Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always glad to be on campus. I was sort of in, I don't know, higher education mode the other day. And sometimes I will glance at the Chronicle of Higher Education.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really interesting stuff there. And I came across a fascinating sort of article slash kind of advice column that is, you know, maybe more applicable during an active school year. But I just thought it was fascinating.
Sure.
So I kind of want to talk about it. It's all about the concept of extra credit. And I know it's a great piece. It's written by Dana S. Dunn, who's a professor and chair of psychology at Moravian College, and Jane S. Hallinan, who is a professor of psychology and a former dean of arts and sciences at the University of West Florida. And it's so interesting because they lay out sort of the pros and cons of offering extra credits. And then they go on to say, so if you're going to do it, here are some good things to think about while you're doing it.
Interesting.
And mostly in a, I think it's in a college framework, because one of the reasons that they argue, or that they say arguments are against doing it, is that it kind of has a sort of a high school feel to it.
Right.
And that it's something that's done maybe not in higher ed circles as much as in, say, elementary school or middle school or high school.
Well, I mean, I've been guilty of offering extra credit for all sorts of things, including bribing students to go to lectures or to events that I think would enhance their own education or would amplify the work we're doing in the class, all the way down to just giving extra questions.
One of the things that they say professors often cite as a reason to give extra credit is exactly that, which is that it's a way to encourage students to have experiences they might not have otherwise.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're teaching an English class and you say, hey, if you go see this production of King Lear and bring me, you know, it's often bring me the program or something, you know, you'll get an extra point or two on this test or 5 point, whatever the case may be, that it is a way to encourage students to, you know, go outside their comfort zone a little and try something that, you know, they may not really be too keen to try or a little nervous to try.
And pulling from King Lear, the famous line, nothing will come of nothing, is kind of similar to this. If you don't engage in these things, then you won't have those experiences. It also works the other way. You know, I've given hundreds upon hundreds of lectures and keynotes at various other schools. And I will just ask them directly, especially when it's a large audience. All right, what am I worth on the open market for extra credit? How many points do I get? And I have the audience yell out, I'm getting 2 points on a quiz, or I'm getting my lowest grade dropped. And I do not take that as an insult at all, but it's a reality. And I'm hoping that the experience they have with me over the next hour would be one that will not only help their grade, but also give them an experience they might not have otherwise had that would be positive.
Yet one of the arguments that is put forward for not doing it is that it does put a focus on the number and the grade. And we've talked before about sort
it
of
doesn't
an
do that.
Undue the focus on that.
We do that as a culture and as a nation and as a society, and this is just a reality. And so that extra credit is not doing that.
It's not doing that.
No, that's just wrong.
So when you decide to give extra credit, what is your thought process?
It's always about enhancing the learning experience. So what is it that would enhance the learning experience? And it could be, you know, redo the examination, you know, perfectly correctly, and just the process of kind of working through mathematical questions again could be something. Asking a really challenging question and seeing how far they can push themselves. It's about intellectual growth. So anything that, I mean, again, mindless, silly things, I'm not a fan of. That's just ridiculous. But anything that enhances intellectual or personal growth, I'm on board with.
Can you give an example of some extra credit that you have offered that kind of fits the description that you're giving?
Well, I will at the end of – so I'm thinking of math courses now.
Sure.
Where I actually used to give exams. I haven't taught a math course in about 5 years. I would ask a really challenging question that is within the scope of the material in the course, but it's a higher level of sophistication required to really make meaning of the ideas at a deeper level. And so to test and see if you can do that or not. So that's one example. Actually, can I share a story that's not quite this, but
sure.
Kind of? So many, many years ago, I was teaching a number theory class, which is my field of interest. And I would give out these 2-week-long projects where they have 2 weeks to work on it. You could think of it like a take-home open book exam,
oh, okay.
Basically. But it's like projects. And it's about 5 or 6 questions, usually 5 questions. And they're different levels of challenging questions. Well, one 2-week period, I gave 6 questions and I said, do any 5 that you want. So this wasn't extra credit, but you had to pick the one you didn't want to do. Now, the thing that was really cruel and mean was that one of the completely harmless sounding obvious questions was an open question within mathematics, meaning that no mathematician knew the answer.
There was no answer to be.
Well, we don't know what the answer. Uh-huh. There's an answer. No one has figured it out yet. But it sounds so innocuous and so simple. And I had some students picking that one as one of the 5 they did.
Whoa.
Well, because you never know. Maybe someone with a fresh thought will have some insight that the mathematicians over the millennia have not seen. That didn't happen, by the way. But it was really interesting. And so when I graded those, I graded them with the understanding that no one knows the answer to this. And so how creative and how inventive and how clever were they? And then where did the thing break down? Because there was obviously a mistake. And so that was a cruel thing. And of course, when I passed them back and told them that.
I bet they got mad at you.
My students never liked me. And that was only enhanced at this particular episode. But they appreciated the fact that some of them we're trying to work on a cutting-edge question within mathematical research that no one knows the answer to, and they were doing that as undergraduates. That's kind of cool.
That is cool, and it also brings up the idea sort of related to this, which is partial credit. You know, I think in some fields as math, I'm sure
right,
there's
of course.
Sort of a debate about, well, if somebody brings you a solution or what they believe is the solution to a question and they don't get the correct answer, but several steps along the way – They're good. And then all of a sudden, they maybe kind of go off the track a little. You know, how much credit do you give them for the effort and for getting off to a good start?
So, in mathematics and engineering and the sciences, if someone's going to build a bridge, there's no partial credit. The bridge
right.
either works or not. So there's that. And then there's also this idea of, do you understand? And there's, I think, a very healthy tension between those two equally important aspects of learning, especially math, engineering, physics, and so forth. So what I do, the way that I engage with that conundrum is on my calculus final exams, there is a multiple choice section, and then there's the long answer section. The long answer section is where there's lots of partial credit if you, so earned it. But on the multiple choice, I ask a question, and I give the correct answer and 3 incorrect answers that are easily found if you make a classic calculus mistake, right, that everyone tends to do.
Uh-huh.
And there is absolutely no partial credit on those questions. You either get it or correct. And so either get it or it's wrong. And so for those questions, you have to get the correct answer. Okay? I don't need to see any work at all. You need to get the correct. If you guess and you get it right, well, you got lucky. That's hard to do over time. And then on the other ones, then I look at the body of work and I try to get myself into the head of the student to see how they're thinking. And then I assess both the correctness and the thought process.
So will you assess me on the thought process for the puzzler if I don't get to the right answer?
Well, I think I saw a picture last week. I think you might get this one. So let me remind our listeners what the puzzler was and then we can talk about what you drew.
Well, let's not talk too much about that. But
so there once was a recluse who never left his home. The only time anyone ever visited him was when his food and supplies were delivered. But even then, they never actually went inside. Then one stormy winter night, when an icy gale was blowing, he had a nervous breakdown. He went upstairs, turned off the lights, and went to bed. The next morning, he had caused the deaths of several hundred people. And the question is, how is this possible? And will you tell our listening audience what you drew?
Well, it resembles a scribbled mess.
No, that's not, you're being too modest.
What I drew first was sort of a standard little house, mm-hmm. which is kind of buried in the picture here. And I had a little roof and a door, and there were people coming to drop off food. And then I drew the gale blowing. That's this up here. But then as soon as you said went upstairs, turned off the light, and then hundreds of people died, I thought, all right, that's really bizarre. But then I realized what situation could that describe? And I thought of lighthouse, because if there's a storm and he's in a house and he never leaves, because you've got to kind of always be on the job, he or she who's in charge of the lighthouse would always have to be there. Going upstairs and turning off the light means the ships relying on the lighthouse are in trouble.
Absolutely correct. That is right. This person is a lighthouse keeper, and that is how this happened. Very good. And you drew a little lighthouse. That's kind of what I saw. It kind of looked like a lighthouse to me.
Sort of. Well, yeah. I'm glad it looked like that to you.
Yet another correct answer from our own Jennifer Staten, KUT.
Do I get extra credit for my wonderful picture?
You get 100%.
Okay.
But not extra credit. You got it correct.
Well, so a couple more questions about this, because I just think this is really an interesting topic, because extra credit always seems to generate so much excitement among students, but yeah. And I didn't realize the controversy among educators till I read this article, which is totally interesting. So one question I have for, I'm going to pose it to you because you're sitting right here across the table in the studio, but why not just put the extra credit question in the regular part of the test? And I'm speaking, obviously, not extra credit when you're going to see a performance or something inexperiential, but why not just put that question in the regular part of the test?
Well, I think it's a question of levels of understanding. And every instructor has her or his sense of where the body of knowledge and the material kind of appreciation is for students in that class at that grade level, whatever it may be. But then there's always more, right? You never understand everything. You never understand it at 100%. So the truth is that there's always a deeper level. And so why not offer a window into that deeper level? I always see exams, by the way, as opportunities of learning. So to me, I give an exam not as assessment, although that's what it does from a practical point of view, but I'm hoping they have a learning experience and they actually will engage with the material in a deeper way. And so why not go beyond the level that I have as my great expectations for that class and include even greater a level of understanding and depth and see if they can rise up to that challenge. So I think that putting it on as a regular question is then to change kind of the metric as to where I want the goal for my students. But wherever that goal is, you can always exceed that goal, and why not offer that to those students who would resonate with that challenge?
And so I'm also curious, you know, I often like to take what we discuss here and sort of morph it into, I'll say, the real world. Not that education is not
yes,
the real
education
world.
Education is the
I know,
real world.
I'm doing air quotes here with yes. that. But, you know, I'm going to make a little devil's advocate case here, and I'm interested in your response. So
please.
I'm going to say that there should never be any extra credit, and here's why. Because out in life, in jobs, you know, you don't always get extra credit. You know, at my job every day, there's something I do that I don't think anybody knows about. I do it most every day, and I don't get any extra credit for it. And that is, I always put blank pieces of paper back into the printer. People will print out things,
right,
and they're always
right.
kind of blank leftovers. I always right. put them back in because I don't want us wasting any paper.
Right.
I don't think anybody knows I do that. Nobody cares. I don't get any extra credit for that.
I completely disagree.
Okay, why do you completely disagree?
No, I mean, the example of putting, you know, a blank white paper back into the printer, that might be one that's hard to get full extra credit for. But when you do above and beyond whatever you're expected to do, if you do that as a practice of how you live your professional or personal life, eventually others will take note. And whether that's promotions, whether that's merit raises, whether that's just awards, appreciation, or just a gratitude from a loved one bringing someone flowers and saying thank you for just being so wonderful and cleaning those dishes, as often as you do, or whatever the thing is, The reality is that if it becomes a practice of how we live our lives, there will be credit given. Now, can I point to exactly where it's going to be? Gets back to an episode we had a while back, which is that it's you can't predict the future. But if that becomes part of how you live your life, then it will be appreciated and somehow it will be rewarded. If nothing else, Jennifer, the satisfaction and joy you bring to yourself to say, I saved a piece of paper, I saved a tree. And that alone is extra credit, and you should embrace that.
Well, and that's really, I think, a big point too, which is that why do you do something like that? You don't do it so that someone will come up and pat me on the back and say, thank you for putting the because
apparently you do, because you're very annoyed that your colleagues at KUT. No. And by the way, if any of them are listening, please pat Jennifer on the back the next time you see her and thank her for the extra white paper that she's putting back in.
Remember, I started by saying kind of a devil's advocate question here, but you do, you know, do something like that for the experience of doing it and because it's the right thing to do and because you're hoping for kind of a better outcome for the community.
And it makes you feel good, which counts. That should count too.
And in school, you know, we're in a more formal education setting. You're hoping, you know, the points would be good. You're also hoping for something, a cool learning experience or something fun kind of coming out of it.
Exactly.
Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten, KUT News.